Hello, welcome again to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry. These teachings are brought to you by the ministry and business of the Wash and Word, Hand Car Wash. You can find us in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W. We're there in the Palace Shopping Center and in the Churchill Shopping Center. And there we have a hand car washing business. And from that building, we play verse by verse Bible teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you can come by and listen to these teachings anytime you want. Just tune to 107.1 FM. You don't have to be in line or getting your car washed. We don't even have to be open. The transmitter that we have broadcasts about 200 feet of radius from the building. And so we want this parking lot to be known as a place where you can come and hear the Word of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So anytime you're in the area, tune to 107.1 FM. And if you have any questions or you missed any of our past messages, you can get all the answers you need about the business and the ministry at washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And finally, I'd like to invite you out to Abundant Life Fellowship Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. I do the verse-by-verse Bible teaching there at Abundant Life, 415 Old Union Road. All right, let's get back into our teaching. We're in the book of 1 John, and if you've been following along, you know we took 4 or 5 15-minute messages just to cover the first 6 verses of chapter 4 in the book of 1 John. And it wasn't because I just thought it would be a good idea to drag it out. There was that much within those first 6 verses that we needed to look at. And it really set the tone for the next 14 verses that we're going to read here in just a minute. And again, if you missed any of those prior messages, you can go to washandword.com, click on the media tab, and you can download or listen to these past messages for free, of course. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to read chapter 4 in the book of 1 John, verse 7 through 21, which is the rest of chapter 4. And then we're going to go back and we're going to look at some things. And this is going to take probably about three or four messages to complete. So we're only going to read the scriptures this time. And then in the following messages to come over the course of the next few days, we will just refer back to them. All right, so let's do it. Verse 7. Chapter 4 of the book of 1 John. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. And if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. All right, let's stop right there. Chances are you weren't counting, but just in case, you know, you weren't, I mean, let me clue you in. In those 14 verses, John used the word love 27 times, and he used the word God 21 times. In 14 verses, 27 times he used the word love, and 21 he used the word God. That's that's using the word love basically two times per verse, and God 1.5 times per verse when you break it down. So let me just pose a question. Anybody have any idea what the central theme of this section might be? Anyone? I'm going to go with God and love. But as we read in chapter 3, verses 11 through 24, we dealt exclusively about love already, and specifically about loving others as proof of God in us and proof of showing that we indeed love God. So let's call love and God the main path, okay? But let's go ahead and explore the side paths or the verses, so to speak, individually. You see, like, I used to do, I still do, a lot of avid hiking, especially when I have the time. And when you hike, sometimes the path is the hike might be a circle, and it may circle back around and come out where you left off. Sometimes it just ends, you have to turn around and go the other way. But a lot of times along these paths, there are branches out. Sometimes a small path that'll lead you to a rock cliff overface, or, you know, a beautiful overlook of the valley below, or just another path to a different area. So there's the main path, and then there's jettisons off the path that are still part of the path, but not the main path. And so that's how we're going to look at this part of the chapter. God and love is the main path, but as we go through these verses again, we're going to see that there's a lot of side paths that we can take on here. So the main path is love and God, but if we go back to the beginning of our reading in verse 7, we find out a few interesting facts. Fact number one, only born-again believers understand real love. Now, I know you might be listening out there and you might be saying something along the lines of, well, handsome radio preacher, how could you say I don't know what real love just because I don't know Jesus? Don't tell me I don't love my husband or my wife, or don't tell me I don't love my son or my daughter. I'm not saying you don't love them. Of course you love them, and you love them to the utmost degree that you possibly can in all of your finite being. I have no doubt about that. But here's what John is saying. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So if God is love, which he says elsewhere, and we're going to read that eventually, as we already have. If God is love, then outside of God, what are we using as a barometer for love? What are we defining love in our lives or towards one another if we are not in Christ? That's a really good question, isn't it? Now, I know the statement, only born-again believers understand real love, is going to rustle up some heathen feathers, probably even some believers' feathers, but that's okay, because I know that you love your children and your family, and just because you don't believe in Jesus doesn't make you unloving. I'm not saying that at all. Let's put it this way. In Matthew 24:12, Jesus says, because of the wickedness, or rather the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Let me read that again. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Listen, worldly love will show itself as false love in due time. You see, real love does not grow cold. Now, here's another statement that might shock you. Wickedness is greater than love, according to Jesus. You say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Wickedness is greater than love, according to Jesus? Well, yeah, in a sense. Because what Jesus is saying is that wickedness will supersede love as the days grow colder or darker and as the end times near. So wickedness will overpower love, making it a greater emotion or feeling than love itself. You say, well, that's a pretty heavy word, saying that wickedness is greater. I didn't say it. Jesus did. He says wickedness will grow Love will grow cold and wickedness will increase. But not the love of God, not the love we find in God or the love we get and receive from God. See, think of worldly love like this, okay? Aspirin cures the common headache, right? And it comes from the bark of a willow tree. And it, when taken, it relieves the symptoms of your headache. Now, today's aspirin is largely a synthetic product. And if you take it, it still does the same thing, but it's not the real thing. It's a synthetic. Grape Fanta may taste like grape soda, but I can assure you there's no grape juice in it. And so outside of Jesus, outside of a born-again saving relationship with Jesus, love may be all of the things that it was sold to you as, but it is just a synthetic love. And because it works, I put in quotations, no one realizes that they are missing the real thing. Listen, throughout history, people have demonstrated how fast love can change when times get dire. And it doesn't take long for love to change, but God's love never changes. Jesus says, apart from me, you can't do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. And when I became a born-again believer, I thought I knew what real love was before that. I thought I loved my family and my friends and people and certain things. But when I met real love, when I got to know true love, I then realized what I had before wasn't the love I thought it was. But I had nothing real to compare it to. That is, until Jesus rescued me. And then in verse 8, he says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. All right. So whoever does not love. Listen, even serial killers love, don't they? They may love their dog. They may love their kids. They may love people, even though they're still serial killers. So love doesn't define anybody or anything for that matter. A serial killer could love baseball. Everyone loves something. Many of you say that you love when you hear me say, well, that just about does it for our teachings for the day. That's okay. That's fine. You know, every pastor that says in conclusion, people love that. But listen, everyone loves something. I love pizza. But from the wellspring of one's spirit, listen, flows either fresh water or polluted water. From the wellspring of one's spirit flows either fresh water or polluted water. Going back to our path analogy, if the path you're on comes to a T, you only have two options. You either go left or you go right, or of course you can blaze a new trail and go straight. But the point is that a lot of times our options are one or the other. In James chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, James writes, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And so we can't love as God loves, or love in the way God loves, and also be of the world. We can't have both. We either have God's love in us and flowing out of us, or we have the world's love in us and worldly love flowing out of us. And as much as society would love to introduce gray area into just about every subject of morality, the Bible is clear that there is only black and white, night and day, darkness and light, fresh water or salt water. You are either saved or not, or simply put, as Jesus said, you are either for me or you are against me. Well, here comes your favorite part. That about does it for this message today. If you're in the waiting room, just sit tight. Another one should start in just a couple of seconds. Otherwise, join me again here Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. on WMCH 1260 AM radio. Also, Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. is when I do my live verse-by-verse teaching. And remember, anywhere in the parking lot, any time of the day, 107.1 FM, you can hear these messages playing on a loop 24/7. Any questions? Go to washandword.com. Have a blessed day.